house. There's faith in this place. Turn with me as we continue to worship him to Exodus chapter 32 and verse 26. Exodus 32 and 26. And then we're also going to read from Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 12. Exodus chapter 32, praise God, and verse 26, we have truly invited the presence of God, and there are truly angels in this house. You say, well, what is their role? The Bible says to be ministering spirits. Ministry means to serve, and when they come with direction from God. Angels don't operate as isolated vigilantes doing their own thing. They come specifically to do what God wants to do. And let me tell you, God wants to do something, and we cannot have him do anything without his anointing, without his help. We're his vessels. Exodus chapter 32, beginning at verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp, and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Now turn over to the New Testament, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 11. We'll begin the 12th verse. Mark 11, we'll begin at the 12th verse. And on the morrow, when we say they, we're speaking of Jesus and his disciples. They were come from Bethany, and he is Jesus. Jesus was hungry. Has anybody ever been hungry? It's almost 12 now. Somebody said, I'm hungry right now. Jesus was hungry for something. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he was disappointed because he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. Please pay attention to the attitude Jesus has. Jesus answered and said, no man eat of fruit of thee there hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And remember that he's hungry? Everyone see that he was disappointed with this tree? And then he comes to Jerusalem, verse 15. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and brought in the temple. Look at his actions. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should even carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he say it. I want to preach to you this morning. Necessary confrontation. Necessary confrontation. One more time, lift your hands unto him. Lord Jesus, your spirit is here. Your anointing has been moving all through this congregation. There is hunger. There is desire. There's been prayer going on all week. Men and women praying and seeking your face. And now let us see what is the results of those that are absolutely engaging in the will and the purpose of Almighty God. I am believing in this sanctuary today that you are going to impart some power. I believe in this place someone is going to get a new desire to fight against every dark thought, every issue. You, Lord God, and they're going to see that as they have faith in you, you are going to move some mountains. There is going to be a great expectation understood in this house. Someone say, yes, I believe it. Exceed our expectations today, God. We are not here to fill a time slot. We want the glory of the Lord to do some mighty things through us so that when we leave, we will know I have been in the presence of Almighty God. I've been in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created the heaven, the moon, and the stars touched me. He came by my way. He gave me a word, and I will never be the same. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands in the house. Praise God, you may be seated here in the house of the Lord. This message has been burning in my soul for months now. It is our 2021 Engage theme service. And remind you, engage is to fight against an enemy, to enter into battle and contest with, to do or take part in something. I don't believe there are men and women on these pews that are choosing to be bumps on the log and allow God's kingdom to pass them by. I truly believe with all my heart there are men and women that want to engage in spiritual battle and spiritual authority and conquer darkness and conquer sin. Do I have some witnesses here? You want to see God's kingdom come. You really want to see God's will be done. You really want to see people come in the house of God and fall on their face and say, I found what I've been looking for. I found the answer. Is there anybody here that really, 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 I mean, you really want God to show his power, show his might, show his strength in everyone's life today to enter into conflict or battle? Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain is best known for his policy of appeasement. Appeasement is an international context. It is a diplomatic policy of making political or material concessions to an aggressive power in order to avoid conflict. Neville Chamberlain continued to appease Hitler and the Nazis in the late 30s, and it did not slow the Nazis down at all. It only emboldened the Nazis to continue to take what they said that they were not going to take. Because anytime you appease an enemy, anytime you appease evil, it will not be appeased. It will not be satisfied. It will come and it will try to take more away from you and everything you built up. And if you think just avoiding him will fix the problem, you have another thing coming. He continued to run over other country after country, but finally they got rid of Chamberlain, and Winston Churchill stepped on the scene, and he came on the scene, and he was advocating action for a while. He gave a speech that stirred a nation, and I quote, I would say to the house, as I said to those that have joined this government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I can say it is to wage war by sea, by land, and air with all of our might and with all strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. And what was Churchill doing when he showed up and he gave that first speech to the Congress and the House of that nation? He was making it undoubtedly clear that I didn't come here to appease anybody. I didn't come here to make friends. I came here to wage war against the German Nazis. And he says, I'm going to put everything I have into this. His policy was, we are going to engage the enemy with necessary confrontation, because the Nazis wanted to change everyone's way of living, life, and freedom. And he said in so many words, appeasement is no longer an option. Can I take what Winston Churchill said to a nation and try to stir up a church in this hour who the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and shut your mouth, and shut your worship, and shut your belief, and shut your praise, and you say, by no any circumstances, I will appease him no more. I am ready to engage in the fight. I am ready to engage in the battle. I'm ready to engage in victory. We find our initial scripture, Exodus 32, 26. Israel is in bondage. Calling of Moses takes place because God wants to give freedom. You're bound right now. You're struggling right now. You're frustrated right now. You may be hurting in the house of God right now. But let me tell you, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God has always been about allowing freedom to come your way. And that's what I got to preach week in and week out, and tell somebody that the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, is only continuing what God has always been in the mood to do. And that is to bring help in your life. God is always in the mood to change your dark things and make them light. And God wants to tell somebody, the reason why I called Moses is I know Moses was doing his own thing, but I saw the oppression and I saw the hurts of my people, and I will never sit back, and I will never appease the devil, and I will never appease Egypt, and I will never appease the things and say there has to be a way they stay where they're at. No, God says, I'm going engage as well. I'm not going to sit in the portals of heaven and allow my people to stay beat down. You might be beat down right now, but you're going up, up, up. You might be hurting right now, but you're going up, up, up. The hand of God is working on your behalf. Now, when Moses showed up after he finally was convinced by God to do so, I'll preach on that at another time, but we find when he showed up, they did not get delivered after the first sign. And that's so important for you to hear that first point right now. God showed up and God allowed a sign to be performed in the Pharaoh's courtyard. But after that happened, please understand what took place. They did not walk out of Israel, out of Egypt immediately. What I find that happened is that Pharaoh said, the reason why you are in bondage in the first place is because I don't want you to recognize who you are. And I don't want you as a mighty people to realize who you are. Join up with our enemy and turn your back against us. And so the devil's strategy is always to stop you before you ever get started, to keep you down and beat you down before you ever recognize what God is really calling you to be. And so Moses shows up and Moses is trying to communicate to Pharaoh. But let me tell you something, we're always focusing in that Moses is trying to communicate communicate to Pharaoh. That ain't the only person Moses is trying to communicate to. Moses was also trying to communicate to a people who's been beat down. Little Rodden, you asked me a question last week and say why you keep on preaching the same old thing. Let me tell you, sometimes the people of God just don't get it. Sometimes they still think they're slaves. Sometimes they think that things can't get better. And so I gotta keep on preaching the same way Moses kept on showing signs. I know Pharaoh said, who is the God that would try to challenge my authority? The same question that Pharaoh had is the same question the children of Israel had. Because if he was God, how come I've been here so long? Do I have a witness in this place? If he was God, why the stripes on my back? If he was God, why I'm dealing with these issues in my home? If all y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying this morning, but I'm gonna preach this thing until we lose our mind. And so Pharaoh says, let my people go. And Pharaoh, Moses says that, and Pharaoh responds, I will not let them go because I believe I'm greater than your God. And I find that what Pharaoh said was not isolated, because he told all his taskmasters. He said, the Israelites are idle. Idle. So tell them to build the same amount, but we're not going to provide the straw. And here comes negativity. Moses, why are you confronting Pharaoh when he would turn around and make things worse for us? And I begin to really feel God speaking to me. And he says, don't you see, I did not deliver them on the first sign, because in the mindset of these slaves, they thought that Pharaoh is greater than me. And so I have to keep showing sign after sign, great move after great move, until people start to wake up. And so you had the first two or three signs, and then you had Pharaoh and his magicians. They were able to match blow for blow for a moment, but there came the fourth sign, and they said, I'm sorry, we can't mimic what he's doing. You know what God is doing? Inch by inch, step by step, precept after precept, line after line, trying to wake up somebody, trying to show somebody, I am greater than your enemy. I am trying to show you, I might not get you out the first time you ask why. I'm going to make no doubt in your mind that I'm the God that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think. And there are certain verses, sometimes at first you read and you don't understand it. I read that God harden Pharaoh's heart. Why would you call Moses to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt and then secretly hide that revelation? Hey, angels, listen. You know how I just sent Moses to talk to Pharaoh? Pharaoh not gonna listen. And it's my fault. Y'all hear me this morning? It was on purpose. They've been here in the dark for a long time. And they only heard from a distance about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They've heard great things, but they haven't seen them for themselves. Am I talking to anybody right now? You've heard great things, but you have not seen them for yourself. And so maybe that's why you're going through your storm right now, because God is trying to raise up some people in this hour that don't have other people's testimonies. But God wants to, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying right now, and that's why I'm going to keep preaching it. God is trying to help somebody in this place and say in your own personal life, if you're honest, you think the devil is bigger than God. You think Pharaoh and his army is bigger than God. And so I'm going to let him put abuses all over you. But when it's all said and done, and I smote the world with darkness to where you can cut through it, and then where I take his firstborn, you will see that not only you believe, there's no doubt in your mind. Your enemy will say, take your stuff and get out of here. You're free. Why? Your God is bigger. Your God. Your God is greater. Get out of my territory. Come on, somebody. God wants to show you his greatness in your storm. That's the attitude, the mentality of God. So I have to have these constant, necessary confrontations. Now, no lengths he stopped at. No lengths he went through to set them free. God won't stop at nothing to make you free. Brother Wilson, but their deliverance, they're being baptized in Jesus' name, they're repenting of their sins, and they're being filled with the Holy Ghost, it's only the beginning. Here's our problem. So many of us come and feel the tug of God, and we repent of our sins, and we're baptized in his name, and we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and we are rescued out of Egypt, and then we think that's it. But that was only the beginning of their deliverance. You say, how do you know you say that? Because when they came out on the other side of the Red Sea, the Lord says, Moses, I need you to come up a little bit higher. And the reason why I want you to come up a little bit higher, I need the Israelites to understand something. It wasn't just them coming out of darkness, but now I have to take them to a better place that they don't even know about. And when they get there, I want them to know that there's milk and honey on the other side. You know what that means? You haven't seen nothing yet. I know you're not being beat down, but don't you think that because you're not being abused anymore, and that's the best it can get? Moses, come on up to a mountain. I got to show you how people are going to be able to actually be in my presence. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not enough just to be baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I have to show you how to get rid of your slave mentality. I gotta show you how to walk on Tuesday, how to walk on Thursday. I'm glad you've been born again, but I didn't call you up. I didn't rapture you. I didn't kill you. I said, let's go a little bit further, and what I can do and operate in your life, it is just the beginning. There's a lot of new people here, Brother Sister Porter, Brother Sister Wheeler, and you guys have been feeling the presence of God. And so I must set a precedent in this church to tell you, you're just getting started. Come on, somebody. So Moses calls him, is called up to receive spiritual direction and instruction for the people who had just been called out of Egypt. You cannot be called out of Egypt and think that's it. Moses, I need to have you write some stuff down. I need to speak to you some deeper things, a revelation, so you then can in turn to take that down the mountain to a people that I'm trying to call up higher. It was for the purpose of showing them, yes, my deliverance from Egypt, but that was just the end of slavery. It was the beginning of living a completely better life. Can I tell you right now, God wants you to live a new and completely different mindset and different life. And the problem with us too many times, we're trying to hold on to our old self and hold on to the new self. And that's what happened in that time. Moses, get down from the mountain. Something's going on in the camp. And what was happening? They were saying, we don't know what has happened to this man. And so Aaron, make us gods that we can see. And they formed out of their earrings and their gold, and they made a golden calf, and they began to want entertainment worship. Can I tell somebody right now, that is the beginning of false worship, when you want a God that you can see. We can't see God, but because they didn't understand what God was trying to do, they were trying to bring things down to their level. If you are here and you don't understand it, don't you think that's a bad thing? Just raise your hand and say, God, give me spiritual revelation. I don't have to understand everything, because the moment you should have dumbed down God, there's going to be a problem in your life. And so Moses had to go down, and what did he do? There was necessary confrontation, and says, you're trying to worship me and worship God in a way that entertains you. The Bible says they rose up to play. Can I tell you right now, every time we come in the house of God, we are not here to entertain you. We are not here to show you how good we sing, how great things are, how cool we are. No, we're here to show you, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Learn how to honor him and worship him. How? The Bible says, in spirit and in truth. You don't need a perfect service to worship God. You don't need the right song. You don't need the right beats. What you need is an understanding. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, and I want to go farther than where I am right now. I feel that so strongly in this house. Worship is about him. When we open up in song, when we begin to sing, it's all about him. If you don't understand anything in this church, can I be clear? We've come to worship our King. We've come to connect with Jesus. So he said, who is on the Lord's side? I gave you that because it was a mentality that was shown in the Old Testament. When we get to our text, Sister Barlow, Jesus was feeling some type of way. We laughed. It's kind of inside joke, because the first time we heard that, we were like, what in the world does that mean? Because we don't keep up with the end language very good, do we, little Rodney? Jesus felt some type of way. And more I hear that, I say, oh, you know what? I think I get it more and more now. Jesus is on his last week of life. He comes in on a colt, and they're singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But the Bible says it was getting late, so he left to Bethany, and the next morning he got up, but he was very hungry, and he knew he had an assignment, but he wanted to fill himself up. That was towards the end of his ministry. And he curses the fig tree. And from him cursing the fig tree, imagine it. He's cursing this tree. And on his way, he's probably stomping his feet and he's angry. He's hungry. You've ever been hungry? You're hungry right now? And then he's turning tables and flipping over stuff. Think about it. He's in a mood. He's feeling some type of way. because he's at the end of his ministry, Brother Marion. Because early in his ministry, stay with me, he initiated it with prayer and with fasting. He initiated his ministry with dedication and consecration and separation. And before he ever launched his ministry, he got in God's presence. And the reason why he got in God's presence is because up to this point, Satan had been in the seat of control over humanity. I'm giving you understanding about the mindset of Jesus and why he pushed so hard, because even people right now are still suffering from Satan's control over their life and over the world. You see, up to this point in history, only the promises of God would help bring humanity, but they were just promises. He had not yet shown himself yet on the earth. And up to this point, men and women did not possess any consistent power over darkness. And so when Jesus showed up praying, and when Jesus showed up fasting in that wilderness, he's saying, I have come to change all of that. I am come with spiritual authority. And so he gets up and he goes to a synagogue. And the thing I find interesting about him going to a synagogue, of all people in that church, they passed him a book. Of all people, they recognized him. Why? Because when you are anointed, people are going to recognize what's on the inside of you. Are there anybody here that says, I want the anointing of God in my life? And so they passed him the book. But when they passed him the book, they didn't turn to the pages for him. They said, you choose whatever page you want to go to. And so Jesus, fresh out of the wilderness, Jesus, fresh out of a prayer meeting, Jesus, fresh out of having God fill him up and tell Satan, it is written time and time again, Jesus was energized. Jesus was filled up. If you don't know what I'm saying, if you're broken down, tired, and disgusted, I'll tell you what you need. You need to get in the presence of God in a prayer meeting, and you need to fast, and you will watch your spiritual muscles start to flex, and you will say, Satan, I speak the word to you. Hey, come on, somebody. He's trying to let you live down in pride. But when you have the anointing upon you, you can speak to your enemy, and he has to go. That's what Jesus walked into that room trying to testify and tell everybody about. And he says, I tell you where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah and show you why I'm here. So he goes. And he opens it up, and he says to everyone with their eyes on him, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set those who are oppressed, make them free. Please hear me. This was Jesus setting up the expectation of what things were going to be like when he's around. And throughout his earthly ministry, there was no devil or unclean spirit that did not have to submit to him, to his authority. Why am I telling you that? He wanted his followers to be able to do the same. He showed you and I there was no spirit, no devil, no problem that he couldn't deal with. But he was God in flesh,
Of course he can do it. But what he says is, I come to be that light and that example for you to follow. So I summarize quickly Matthew 17. He just got off of the Mount of Transfiguration, and a man is needing deliverance for his son. And Jesus shows up and confronts them because no one was able to fix the problem. Have you ever been so frustrated because no one around you was able to fix your problem? Come on, somebody say amen. And they were frustrated. And then Jesus shows up and he answered and he said, this is what was inside of him. This is what was stirring him. He says, oh, faithless and perverse generations, how long shall I be with you? You know what he's saying? I'm not going to be here every day. In fact, I'm not going to be here much longer. How long am I going to suffer here with you? He says, bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked that devil, and the devil came out of him, and they said he was healed from that very hour. But the disciples had to come to him later on, and he said, Jesus, somebody say, Jesus, why can't we fix it? Why can't we turn around? Why can't things get better when we operate in it? And Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, this cannot come out until you start removing and speaking to your mountain. And Jesus is confronting his disciples and saying, you keep your mouth shut too much. You don't talk. You don't speak. You don't confront your enemy. You just sit there and take it. But I'm here to stir somebody. No more. Open your mouth. Confront your enemy. Take authority. Come on, do it now. Do it now. Don't wait till the message is over. Do it now. Ask God to bring help and deliverance to your life. Your unbelief keeps you quiet. Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say. Why is the Pentecostal church so loud? Because we got verses like this. We are going to engage. I appease no more. I please no more. I open my mouth if you don't like it. Because I gotta have a breakthrough. Is there anybody with me? I've gotta have a breakthrough. I need an open door. I need a miracle. I need a way where there is no way. This church, if we get it, is about to explode with the supernatural. This church, if we get it, are about to see miracles, signs, wonders, power, help, and healing. Some would think it's just noise. Just hype, just emotions. That's all it is. Is it? Really? Really? Because I see a man in Jericho who understood this might be the last time Jesus passes by. You're not going to get it in these services until you think this is the last chance you got. If you think you got next week, you'll wait till next week. Next revival, next conference. But that man who was blind and who was sick and tired of laying there begging, who was sick and tired of having to depend on everybody else, who was sick and tired of saying, somebody help me, somebody give me something, and who could not provide for himself. And so when Jesus was coming by that way, he was not quiet. He was not just emotional. Something was driving him. So I get it. If nothing's driving you, no shame. Keep your mouth shut. But there's some people here who need their children delivered. There are people that are literally, I was in tears in the hospital with Sister Kylene, watching her stutter and not be able to bring out words. And we all know her. She has no problem talking at all. Yeah, Kylene, you might be watching, and you know I love you. She has no problem speaking, but watching her stutter and stutter and hearing and watching you cry because of your heart condition. And many women right now, you're suffering. You're going through pain. You're going through problems. We got backsliders that don't know how to find their way back. Come on. This ain't no time to be cute. This ain't no time to be quiet. There's no time to play religion. We need breakthrough. We need revival. We need deliverance. We need help. We need power. We need the Spirit of God to light a fire. We gotta decree and declare help, deliverance, and freedom in our lives. Jesus was saying, I'm not gonna be here much longer. This kind can't come out except prayer, fasting, desperation has to get a hold of the church. Stop playing games. Talking to me, talking to all of us, everybody, we all need to learn how to travail on an altar. New people, you too. Come in fresh and just learn how to get crazy for Jesus. Don't wait 20 years. And church, you lead them by example and say, this is how we get a hold of the horns of the altar. You need your family saved as I need mine. We need revival. So we cry out. Somebody cry out. Jesus, the Son of David. Have mercy! Release power. Release faith. Release hunger. Release desire. Release a thirsting. Release a hunger. Release a spirit of desperation. He's hungry. He sees a fig tree. Leaves are on the tree. It looks right. It looks right. Men and women, Brother Wheeler, they look right. But when Jesus gets close to them, looking for fruit, there is none. They look right. They talk right. They dress right. And when Jesus says, I'll go and get some fruit from them, he gets close to them and there is no fruit. And the only time in Jesus' earthly ministry does he bring destruction to something in the natural. He always changes it. He always helps it. He always brings it from the wrong way to the right way. But the only time in Scripture where he does the opposite is when he goes and expects something and gets nothing. And he's in a mood. He's in a mood. And he begins to curse that tree. And oh, I don't preach fear in this church. I don't think that's the way of God. I think he wants us to preach love, but we got to make sure we preach the whole gospel of God. And the Lord says, I will curse somebody that you look right, you show up right, but there's no evidence of a fruit or burden in your life. If we cry out for anything, Lord, make us fruitful. Lord, help us multiply. Lord, help us increase. Stop allowing me to look the part with no evidence of real fruit. That's why we got to be laborers. And because he's in that same mood, he gets to the house of God. And he loses it, you guys. He loses it. You just can't show up to the place of worship and start tearing up stuff. Why? Why? Why was he so angry? Why? Why? Why was he so frustrated? He said, because I'm not going to be here much longer. And my house is supposed to be a house of prayer, a house of intercession, a house of hungry people. And so he has to confront something he does not see. And so necessary confrontation was there, because I expected my house to be a house where you are supposed to be confronting your enemies, because I have come to give you power over them. And so when I see you not operating on that level, it angers me. I know you don't hear that kind of preaching most places, but Jesus is angry with us if we're not engaging in prayer. Jesus is angry with us if we whine and we cry. I get so tired of people who whine and complain without acting in the Holy Ghost. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We all hurt. We all cry. We all have issues. But then don't let there be a period. It has to be, God, I'm longing. God, I'm needing. But with that, you'll find me at a prayer meeting. You'll find me at a prayer meeting. You'll find me at a prayer meeting. You'll find me in an altar. Don't you keep on begging God to do great things in your life, but you never engage in spiritual confrontation. How many people ask you to pray, but they never show up to prayer meeting? You guys think I'm playing? I'm not playing. And I pray my spirit is right. But you guys know me, I preach angry. I've always done it. I'm sorry. This is my personality. I'm not angry, but I'm spiritually ignited. You're going to keep going through your cycles until you engage yourself, till you sacrifice. Yeah, yeah, I know. You got to change the schedule. I get it. And you all hear what I'm saying. If the shoe fits, wear it. Not, ignore me then. I'm not being rude. I'm not being mean. But there's a principle I hope I'm hitting right now in somebody's heart. Amen. I hope I'm waking somebody up. If you really want a breakthrough and a change, there's only one way to do it: prayer and fasting. I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm not doing something cute. I'm not trying to figure out the new system, the new way of doing it. No, it's old time prayer and fasting, reaching out to God and saying, oh, Jesus, I need a miracle in my home, in my family, in my church. Bring us back to prayer. Fast. Why did he tear things up? Why did he confront them? Because they weren't walking in the authority he gave them. This is the house where you get help. Period. This is where you get help. He wants to pour out his spirit upon you. He wants to give you that wisdom, knowledge, and direction. But you have to engage. I want you to stand on your feet. I know we've been praying. We've been worshiping. This is a house of prayer, of help, of deliverance. And we're going to confront our enemy. We're going to confront the spirits that want us to be unproductive. And the last thing we need is for the enemy to convince any one of us
that you don't need more fruit in your life. You need more fruit. You might have fruit. You need more fruit. I have fruit. I need more fruit. I need more fruit. Lift your hands right now if you want more fruit. Lift your hands right now if you want to have spiritual authority. Lift your hands right now if you want to see things move and break through in your life. Lift your hands right now and say, Lord, I'm serious, and I'm not doing it by myself. I'm not trying to be extra spiritual. I'm just hungry for you, Lord. I need miracles. I need freedom. I need some things to change in my home. I need some things to change in my health. I need your help, God. And so I'm crying out, and I'm saying, Lord, help me, Lord. I'm crying out in the humility. I cannot do it by myself, Jesus. Thou Son of David, put your hand upon me. Put your anointing on me. I'm on the Lord's side. If you're hungry, I mean you're hungry, come down to this altar right now. Start playing something soft. That's right. Come on and make room. Come close as you can. 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 Squeeze into the front. That's it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, Zion. Come on, Zion. Now begin to lift your voice in desperation. Let it come from your heart. From your heart. From your heart. You are reaching out. You are longing. You are crying out for His Spirit. You are saying, Lord, let me engage. There's necessary confrontation. I need a breakthrough. I need an answer. I need a miracle for my home. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, just lift your voice to Him. If you feel like crying, it's okay to cry. Pour your heart out before Him. I need a miracle in my home. I need a miracle in my life. I need a miracle in my situation. I can't go another year like this. I can't go another day like this. I need a hope renewed. I need a fire kindled. I need something to change in my heart. I want to do great things for you. I want my future bright. I want my life right. I want my life foundated upon you, Jesus. And I want fruit to begin to express itself out of my life. I want to be a light. I want to be a light. I want to be a light in the dark world, oh God. And I need help, oh Lord. I need a miracle, Lord. I need your deliverance, Lord.
But guess what? I'll never be the same.
I need your presence. I need an answer. I need an overflow, oh God. I need a refreshing. I need a renewing. I need a passion. I need an overflow inside of me, Lord. I cannot go on, oh God, with fake religion. I can't go on with shallow desires. I need my soul to overflow. I need my soul to overflow. I need your joy. I need your power. I need your passion. I need the presence of Almighty God. I need the joy of the Lord. Fill my soul. I need the strength of God. I need to get lost. I need the overflow of your power. I'm so hungry, I can't even contain it. I'm so hungry, I can't even hold it in. I'm so hungry, oh God, I put a forehead, oh God. I need the overflow, Lord. I need the overflow, oh God. I need more of my faith, Lord. I can't live without you. I can't live without you. I can't live without you.
Say, I need you, Lord. I may not know it all, but I know what I feel. I know this is right. And I say, Lord, that's it. The Holy Ghost is on you. The Holy Ghost is on you. The Holy Ghost is on you. The power of the Lord is here. The strength of the Lord is here. The help of the Lord is here. Let me among you, Jesus. Let me among you, Jesus. Serve you. I commit to you. I dedicate my life. I dedicate my children. I dedicate my soul to vessel for you. I say overflow in my life. Overflow in my life. Overflow in my life. Overflow in my life. Yes. That's right. That's it. Lift up your hands right now. And let him fill you up right now in the name of Jesus. I call your name, oh Lord.
I'm not going to be the same. This is where I'm going to be. 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 This is what I'm going to long after. This is what I'm going to go after. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. This is where I want to be. This is where my family's going to be. And there's going to be fruit, oh God. It's going to be fruit and a manifestation of your glory, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes, intercessor. Yes, river flow. Yes, the touch of God. Yes,
your
overshadowing, oh God.
Put on the garment.
Yes, your courage. Yes, your strength. Yes, your anointing.
This is how I find my battles.
Come on, don't stop engaging. Don't stop engaging.
This is how I find my
don't stop
battles.
Engaging. He's speaking to your spirit. He's speaking deeply to your heart.
This is how I find my battles.
This is how you learn how to cry out. This is how you learn how to entertain his presence.
This is how I find my battles.
This is how you learn to be where he is.
It's when you think you're lost.
Where he is.
It may look like I need I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by
I need
you.
I need
it may look